Revelation chapter 21, Revelation chapter 21. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 2, John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That glorious bride that Paul spoke of back in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 27, made clean by the washing of the water by the word. I want to begin our reading at verse 9 and read through verse 21. I'd like to try to get through that much of the text tonight. Revelation 21, beginning in verse 9, reading from the New King James Version. And one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and he showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. And the city is laid out as a square, and its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. Its length and breadth and height are equal. Then he measured its walls 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. And the construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second, sapphire, the third, chalcedon, and the fourth, emerald, the fifth, sardonyx, the sixth, sardius, the seventh, chrysolite, and the eighth, beryl, the ninth, topaz, the tenth, chrysoprase, the 11th, jaspis, and the 12th, amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. Revelation 21 and verse 15 we want to pick up. We'll make some mention about some of the things mentioned in the previous verses to this. We'll pick up it with our comments at verse 15, where we ended last Wednesday evening. So after being privileged to see the city, John observed that the angel had a gold reed with which to measure the new city. Earlier in our study, back in chapter 11 and verse 1, remember, John was called to measure the old city, that is, the temple of God and the altar and them that worship there. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 1. That old city, of course, was the city in which our Lord was crucified. Revelation 11 and verse 8. John measured the old city of Jerusalem for destruction, but the angel here measures the new city of Jerusalem for preservation, because it will never be destroyed, just as Daniel prophesied, Daniel 2 and in verse 44. In the days of the Roman kings, the God of heaven would set up a kingdom which would never be destroyed. We're told in the text, verse 16 and 17, that the city is four square or cube shaped. In every direction, it measures approximately 1,400 miles. Such a city, to the people of John's day, would have filled the earth, and this is perhaps its intended point. It's a universal city, and its walls are equally as high as the city is long and broad, and their thickness, around 144 cubits, or that computes out approximately to 210 feet thick. So think about that. If one would see a city with walls 210 feet thick, such walls would have been completely impregnable. It would be a city that could not be conquered. It would be a city that would never be destroyed. And the Lord had long said this before in the prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 26 and in verse 1. Isaiah 26 and in verse 1. In that day this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. Open the gates, that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. In Yahweh, the Lord, is everlasting strength. And in Isaiah 60, in verse 18, violence shall no longer be heard in your land, neither wasting nor destruction within your borders, but you shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. So God protects those who are His. And this city, New Jerusalem, will be protected by God. It's impregnable. It will never be destroyed. Remember, Jesus had said in John 10 and verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I will give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." Now, Jesus did not mean that the saved could not be lost, but he meant that as long as the saved abide within the realm of God's protection, they would be safe and secure. They wouldn't be touched by any forces from without. And this is the protection that is provided in New Jerusalem and within the walls of New Jerusalem. As long as its inhabitants abide within the protection of its walls, nothing can harm them. But if they step outside the walls by sinning, then they are separated from the protection of God until they return to God. And this is the true picture of security for the child of God. We see the outside wall of the city in verse 18 was jasper. This is the side of the city seen as it appears to the world. It's the outside of the wall. But the city itself was pure gold, like clear glass. So one sees this city from the outside wall as if it is jasper stone. In order to see the city for what it really is, you have to be inside the city. Those who misunderstand the New Testament church, once they get in the church and learn about the church and grow in the grace and knowledge of God's Word, they learn how glorious the church truly is. They see the beauty and the glory in the creation of God and the spiritual body of Christ. The walls contain 12 gates, and each gate is a pearl, and it's guarded by an angel. Verses 12 and 13, Revelation 21. There are three gates on each side of the city, and upon the gates are the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. The gates are the means of entrance into the city. Now, this does not mean that there's 12 different ways to get into the city. It rather means that entrance into the city is available for whatever place in life or on earth a person might be. The gates are identical, symbolizing the oneness of entrance into the city. All who enter do so by keeping God's commandments, of course. And each gate is guarded by an angel, no doubt, to guard the way of the tree of life, ensuring that only those who have the right to it may enter therein. Upon the gates are the names of 12 tribes, thus associating the city with the nation of Israel. Remember its first inhabitants, the saved of the nation of Israel. The 144,000, remember, we studied about earlier in the book of Revelation. And so this, of course, this new city, this new Jerusalem, is the church, spiritual Israel, as Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 16. Jumping down in verse 25 of Revelation 21, "Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there." Gates will not be shut? Well, prophets had long spoken of this. Isaiah 60 and verse 11, "Therefore your gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day or night. that men may bring to you the wealth of the Gentiles and their kings in possession. Ancient cities always closed their gates for protection, but the gates of this city are always open because there's always entrance into this city. It's always made available so people can enter into it. Isaiah 60 and verse 18, violence shall no longer be heard in your land, neither wasting nor destruction within your borders. Again, you shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. The picture we have here of the 12 tribes of Israel's names being upon these gates is similar to that which vision that Ezekiel had in Ezekiel chapter 48 in verse 31 in regard to a city that he saw. You might want to write this down and read this sometime for yourself. Ezekiel 48 in verse 31. The gates of the city shall be named after the tribes of Israel. The three gates northward. One gate for Reuben, one gate for Judah, one gate for Levi. On the east side, 4,500 cubits. Three gates, one gate for Joseph, one gate for Benjamin, one gate for Dan, and go on. So this is not something that has not been spoken of in Scripture before. We have like language in Ezekiel in regard to it. The walls of the city have 12 foundations. On these foundations are the name of 12 apostles. As a matter of fact, Isaiah's New Jerusalem likewise had many foundations. Isaiah 54 and verse 11. And remember, the city which Abraham looked for also had foundations. Hebrews 11 and verse 10, it had foundations. And this city has foundations, plural. And remember, Paul said in Ephesians 2 and verse 20, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And isn't it something that the church, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, this New Jerusalem has the names of the apostles, the 12 apostles. Naturally, of course, Jesus Christ is the one and only foundation upon which the church is built. For no other foundation could it be built upon than Christ, 1 Corinthians 3 and in verse 11. The New Jerusalem is built upon Christ, but the walls of the city which provide protection for the inhabitants are said to rest upon the 12 apostles. No doubt, because of the fact that from the very beginning of the church, on the day of Pentecost, the church rested upon the shoulders of the apostles. Remember, Jesus had ascended to heaven, leaving the work on earth to be completed by the apostles. And they did their work, and they did their work well. And as a result, they are envisioned as foundations of different colored precious stones. These stones symbolize how precious and valuable the apostles were in the scheme of things. And we're still finding security within the walls which they uphold by the word which they preached. The street of the city was of pure gold, as it were transparent glass, verse 21 of Revelation 21. We often sing or talk about the street of pure gold. Some people talk about the streets, plural, of pure gold. But remember, as the text indicates, this city only has one street, one highway, one road, just as God had long promised. Isaiah 35 and in verse 8. Isaiah 35 and in verse 8. A highway shall be there, and a road. And it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. That's the highway, that's the road in New Jerusalem, in the church. And there's only one way, only one street in this city. Just as Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 13, enter by the narrow gate. There's only one way of entrance. John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way. If anyone comes to the Father, he has to come through Jesus Christ. So those entering the New Jerusalem find only one street within the city. And so this forever destroys the idea that all the denominations in Christendom are walking upon different roads that lead to the same place. Because there's not but one way and one road that leads into New Jerusalem. And it's Jesus Christ. We must understand that in God's great city, Holy Jerusalem, there is only one street. And it's made of gold, symbolizing that it has been purified and perfected, evidently for the purpose it serves. It is indeed the way of holiness. It leads straight to God. And when one enters this glorious city, the further he travels down that street, the nearer he gets to God. And the nearer one gets to God, the further from the gates and the allurements of the sinful world he becomes. And upon entering the city through obedience to God's command, one sets his affections upon God and the Lamb who dwells in the midst of the city as he walks that street of gold. Revelation 21 and verse 22. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. So unlike ancient Jerusalem, this new city has no temple to serve as a shrine for the name of God. Remember, of Solomon's temple, God said in 1 Kings 9 and in verse 3, the Lord said to Solomon, I have heard your prayer and your supplications that you have made before me. I have consecrated this house which you built to put my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. So God put his name in Solomon's temple, and he accepted it as the house of sacrifice, the house of worship and service unto him. But God did not dwell in temples made with hands, remember Paul said, Acts 17 and verse 24. Nonetheless, there was a temple in ancient Jerusalem dedicated to the worship of God. But when the city was destroyed, the temple was also destroyed. We saw that back in Revelation chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, where John was given a reed to measure that city and that temple. Now that the New Jerusalem is seen in all of her glory, one of the first things a Jew would look for is the temple, but there is none to be found. The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Again, verse 22, Revelation 21. Their throne is in the midst of it, Revelation 22 and verse 3. And they dwell among the inhabitants of the city. God long before told of this feature of this new city in Ezekiel 37 and verse 26 when he said, Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be as an everlasting covenant with them. I will establish them and multiply them. Note what God said. I will set my sanctuary in their midst forever. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Indeed, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The nations also will know it, that I, the Lord, sanctify Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forever. So God had long promised that his tabernacle was going to be with men. And it is. He, the Lord God Almighty, and the Lamb are the tabernacle. They are the temple. The promise, of course, is viewed as fulfilled in the New Jerusalem. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16, Do you not know that you are the temple of God? 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14, Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Where do we read that? We just read that in Ezekiel. And he's speaking of the church. Same thing, same picture we see in the book of Revelation. And then Revelation 21 and verse 3, back in the context, I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is where? With men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God." Revelation 21 and verse 23, "The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light." The Lamb is its light? Yes, the Lamb is Jesus Christ. Ancient Jerusalem, of course, relied upon the light of the sun and the moon and the candle to cause the city, particularly the temple, to shine in all of its splendor. But New Jerusalem, the totally spiritual city, shines without the light of the sun, moon, or candle, for the glory of God illuminates it. And the Lamb is its light, and this is precisely the picture of the city of the Lord, Zion, of the Holy One of Israel, as given by Isaiah more than 700 years B.C. Isaiah 60 and in verse 18, Isaiah 60 and in verse 18, "Violence shall no longer be heard in your land, neither wasting nor destruction within your borders, but you shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise." Know this. "The sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to you. But the Lord will be to you an everlasting light, and your God your glory. Your sun shall no longer go down, nor shall your moon withdraw itself. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning shall be ended." So just as the prophet Isaiah said, New Jerusalem is illuminated by the glory of God, and the Lamb is its light. So let us also remember that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. John 1, verse 4 through 9. John 8, verse 12. John 9, verse 5. "I am the light of the world." God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1 and verse 5. "And men are presently called out of darkness into God's marvelous light," 1 Peter 2 and in verse 9, "to walk in the light," 1 John 1 and verse 7. I don't believe a clearer picture of the realities experienced in the church could be painted than what's painted here. The glory of God illuminates the church, illuminates New Jerusalem. And the Lamb is its light. Revelation 21 and verse 24. "And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it." Now, ancient Jerusalem, of course, was inhabited almost entirely by Jews, and only a few of them were the true servants of God. But this new city is inhabited only by the saved, and they are from among all the nations. Even the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. But isn't that what God had promised long ago? Isaiah 49 and in verse 6, "Indeed," he says, "is it too small a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the perverse ones of Israel? I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth, thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, their Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nations abhor, to the servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, and he has chosen you." Yes, the Gentiles and even kings would bring their honor into it. Isaiah 49 and verse 22. "Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will lift up my hand and an oath to the nations," that is to the Gentiles, "and set up my standard for the peoples. They shall bring your sons in their arms, and your daughters shall be carried on their shoulders." And Jesus signaled the beginning of the reality of this new Jerusalem when he commissioned his apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16 and verse 15. Matthew 28 and verse 18, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, not just the Jews. And so we have all nations in this New Jerusalem. Revelation 21 and verse 24 again, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. The kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Revelation 21 verse 25 and verse 26, its gates shall no longer be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Again, the comparison is to ancient Jerusalem. The gates of the old city were closed during different times, especially at night. And they were always closed on the Sabbath days. And the temple gates were always closed at night, but the gates of New Jerusalem are never closed. It's always day there. There is no night there. The new city may be entered at any time, just as God said, Isaiah 60 and in verse 11, therefore your gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring to you the wealth of the Gentiles and their kings in procession. So God had long said through Isaiah that the gates of this city would never be closed, and the wealth of the Gentiles and the kings in their procession would come. Isaiah 60 and verse 20, your sun shall no longer go down, nor shall your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning shall be ended. So its gates shall not be shut at all by day, there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. So the light of God constantly shines in this city, the church, and it will enlighten the hearts of men at any time of the day or night as they bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Revelation 21 and verse 27. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Not one impurity can be brought into this holy city. Upon entrance, the new citizens are sanctified and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 1, 22-23. And they maintain their cleansing through walking in the light as the blood of Christ continually cleanses them from sin, 1 John 1, verse 7 and following. Every defilement, abomination, and lie is outside the gate of the city as the entrant repents of his sinful ways and turns his back upon Satan and sin and enters in obedience to God's command. Revelation 22 and verse 14, jumping ahead, blessed are those who do his commandments, that so that in order that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Why would one keep his commandments? That in order that or so that he may have the right to the tree of life to be able to enter in through the gates of the city. So only the pure may enter. Their names are written in the book of life. It should be remembered that when a person obeys the commands of the gospel, his past sins are removed and the Lord adds him to the church, the holy city, New Jerusalem. The Lord does that. Now, we need to remember that what John is seeing here is he's seeing the church and he's seeing the universal church. He is not seeing a local congregation. In a local congregation, they might be people who are members of a local congregation who are not members of the Lord's church. I'm talking about the universal church. It's on earth and in heaven too.
Sir?
I'm talking about the universal church that is in heaven and on earth too. The universal church, much different from the local church. The Lord adds us to the church universal. Man adds us to the church local. There is no sin in the church universal. Is that not what we just read? No sin in the church universal. Verse 27, Revelation 21. There shall by no means enter it anything that defiles, nor causes an abomination or a lie, because only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life enters the city.
That would be heaven, right?
That would be the church.
Because there's sin in the church on earth.
We're not talking about a local congregation. We're talking about the church universal. There's a difference between local congregations, local churches, and the church universal. There is no sin in the church universal. Let's end here, and we'll pick up with the last chapter next Wednesday evening in our study. Any other questions or comments? Because we're out of time.